far would you go to inspire an idea? This is Lena Ski, hostess of the Supernova Podcast. And in this week's podcast, tune into greatness, just like Heike. She's an inspired lady, author, singer, who's facilitating self-love with authenticity and bringing in the power of diversity and community to make things happen. Hi, Heike. I'm so glad you could make the podcast today. I saw your stuff kind of happening on Facebook a couple of weeks back, and it was actually through somebody else that was also applying for the podcast, and it was just like, wow, what you're doing is so phenomenal. I mean, you're an artist, you're a musician, you're an author. Well done on getting published. And I mean, that's a great adjective, but just hearing your message and listening to your lyrics and just hearing it from the audience perspective, there's just so much more that you have to offer, and there's just such a beautiful story that I can just imagine you're going to share with us. So thank you so much for joining us on this podcast.
Thank you so much, Lena. It's such a pleasure for me to be here. Thank you for the opportunity for me to speak to your listeners. I think the main word that defines what I do is an urge, I think, to get certain messages across. And then I convey them in whatever way I can, whether it be, you know, through the lyrics of the song, the music itself, and then, you know, also the book.
So how would you sum that up as a word? Like, if you had to kind of personify what this urge is and this message that you're saying, what word would you put to it?
I think self-worth. I think it's really, really important. I think it's very, very important. We live in a world that is so, where we're also driven by appearances and fitting in and belonging and looking good. And I think that the search for authenticity has to go beyond that, you know. And I think that we live in a world where a lot of people want to look good regardless of whether that's their true self or not. So I think that the ability to go deep within and risk looking like a fool, but discovering your real self-worth is this urge that I've had from a very young age. It was something that I didn't know exactly what it was, but I definitely wanted to be on this journey of discovery and living to my fullest potential.
I'm so glad you touched on the authenticity thing, because it was something that it came up for me in your music and everything, and even in your little like video blogs that you were doing with the Let's Be Honest series. I love what you kind of said. It is the risk of being personal, just really stepping into who you really are and the power in who you are and being so vulnerable. And one of the ways I noticed that is in the book that you wrote. I mean, you really put yourself out there. And I think, you know, a lot of artists, a lot of creatives, a lot of purpose people who are so passionate about their cause really kind of need to step into this authentic space, because otherwise it's just, you know, not really living and not really connecting to the message. And the depths and the levels, I mean, from sexuality to beauty to health, like the way you just exposed yourself, I thought that was so magical.
Yeah, because I think we are a bunch of different values all at the same time happening, you know, every day at once. So I felt that when I picked out those issues, like sexuality, for example, which I think is such a widely misunderstood topic in our Western society, because I think we've gone from such extremes where it was like oppression, you know, like I come from a generation where my mother would not say, you know, the sexual parts. It was like it, you know, it was like things were very, very repressed. And then now it's like, especially in the entertainment, it's all about, you know, legs and, you know, exposing yourself. And I don't think that that's, you know, the solution either. So sexuality for me was a very important topic, and I chose that because I felt that it's so commercial these days that people think that we are resolved, you know, from that aspect just because we talk about it. But I think there's so much more to it. And then, you know, health and parenting and all the other subjects that I talk about, I think that the fact that I got to see these things from so many different cultural perspectives gave me the ability to identify in each of those categories what was important for me.
Mm-hmm. One thing that really echoed in that book was when you kind of speak it into your purpose, and you go, there's a space in the world that each one of us uniquely can fill. And I think that's so powerful in that, because knowing, you know, where you are in your sexuality, knowing where you are in your health, and not necessarily what's conventional media throwing at you, but knowing who you are and what you're worth and having your own sense of beauty is really, really powerful.
Yeah, and I think that so many of us go on this journey of trying to be someone we're not. And it's, you know, even if you win, you lose. Because I think that it's really about identifying what makes you you, you know. And I think that, like, going back to what you said, everybody has a place in this world. Everybody has a unique set of characteristics and thus a unique contribution to make to this world. And it's about finding out where that lies. I think I can talk a lot about entertainment, where many artists are really focused on being different. And what I always say is, you know, if you're focusing on being different, you're still looking outside for answers. Mm. Don't try to be different. Oh, I'm going to do something that no one's ever done before. It doesn't matter if somebody's done it before, because, I mean, there's very room for originality in our world today. Most things have been done before, but authenticity, you know, your own truth, that subtle combination of, you know, multiple things, that's absolutely original and worth pursuing. But I think it's definitely an internal journey that is very frightening. And, you know, like you mentioned, the vulnerability is something that because I think we're so focused on security, we're so focused on confidence, but the paradox is that the confidence does come from being able to put yourself in a vulnerable position and see how you do.
Looking at my journey and the irony of kind of, you know, trying to be original, you're actually not being original because you're doing what everyone else is trying to do. So you're branding yourself as the, you know, that. But also, you know, going into a space where you really realize, like, what is security? Like, you think it's conventionally where you're at, but essentially where it is actually outside your comfort zone. Like, that's where true freedom is. That's where true security is. That's where true vulnerability lies. And we're just holding ourselves back from that.
Yeah, I think that there's so much, a lot of focus on, you know, stability and security, which I think it's all great and it's all desirable. But our human journey is really about stepping out of our comfort zone. And it's very uncomfortable. I can tell you that, you know. I think that when you risk living an authentic life that belongs to you, there will be moments of profound loneliness, you know, where you feel that nobody really gets what you're doing. But the ability to stick to it because it makes sense to you, you know, because deep inside, you can't live in any other way. It's one of the things that I always say. People are like, oh, you're courageous. And I was like, I don't consider myself courageous to the extent that I have felt so much fear in my life, but I couldn't help but pursue my passion, you know. I couldn't help but be an artist, you know, which is a crazy, crazy, crazy profession. But I think that in that vulnerability, you know, you really discover what you're made of. And because there's love involved, because you love what you're doing, it's not really about courage, but it's like, it's inevitable. You have to do it.
Mm, yeah, it just becomes the oxygen you breathe. It's just that natural, isn't it?
Yeah, I like to joke that I tried quitting music and I failed. I couldn't. I failed at quitting. I mean, how ironic is that? But it is true. I think there are points in our lives, and I think we go through cycles where we're sure about something, and then we become unsure of it. I think it was 2006 when I said, you know, I'm so done with the whole music thing. I'm tired. I'm hurt. But, you know, then a work of art was, you know, I wrote that right after that, after I quit.
But that's such a, I mean, that song in itself is just such a culmination of so many different things and so many different values and such an experience. I mean, we'll get into how the song happened for you. But it's so strange that, like you were saying, let's quit the music industry, and this deep, really powerful urge that was just so lyrical happened for you.
Yeah, I think there's something about surrendering. I think that when you quit, in a way, you surrender. I mean, like I said, I like to say that many times I quit before, but I was like blackmailing life, you know? Okay, I'm going to quit. Send me a sign.
Planning it, yeah.
I was like, I was trying to see if it was going to work. Like, you know, I'm not going to sing anymore. Now what are you going to do? And that, but in 2006, I really meant it. I said, I'm never going to sing anymore. I don't want to do this. Because I think, Lena, another thing that I've felt many times in my journey is that our greatest dream and our biggest nightmare go hand in hand. You know, they're very, very close to each other. And I think that's what makes the pursuit of dreams so frightening, is that, you know, something is that important to you, and when it doesn't happen, you go from, like, you know, the highs and lows are very, very extreme. So I think in a way, when I said, you know, I'm done with this, and I was really honest about it, I think there was a surrender that happened, and, you know, and then afterwards came this wave of inspiration that has really, you know, picked up momentum and taken me to where I am right now.
I think what you just said, like, just hearing that, it just resonated so well with me, and like, I just felt it on such a vibrational level, because people always wonder about this quitting and the surrender thing, and they don't quite get it, you know? You know, do you give up? Is it surrender? Where do you draw the line? And I think what you just said is really powerful, is that quitting is like a con that we do. It's a game that we play. We're just testing the waters, and it's kind of just like, I don't feel like doing this anymore. But surrender is a really whole other level. It's not even a giving up anymore. It's just a giving in.
Exactly. I think that it's giving in. Like, when I quit, and then, so I don't know, I think that lasted a couple of months, and then all these songs just started coming, all these others. I realized that it's like, we really are a part of a bigger scheme, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's why, like, I don't see much room for, like, vanity in terms of, like, when you write something good, because it's like, it's not like you wrote it. It's like something wrote through you, you know? I think, I know it sounds new agey and goofy, but it is true to me that I think that, you know, and I experienced that very clearly after I quit, and I was so saddened and weakened and you know, almost like I lost, you know, there was no light in my eyes anymore, and then all of a sudden these songs just start coming through me, and this urge to express, you know, the self-worth and all these things, it just happens. And so there is a part that is about will, and I think that you choose and you say, you know, this is what I want to do, and there's also something that chooses you, you know, and I think that that's why I say, you, going back to when I was mentioning to you that I don't consider myself a courageous person, is that I couldn't help it, you know? I it's not like I was aware of the risks that I was taking and I knew how hard things would be. It's just that I couldn't help it but do it, you know, but listen to this urge to communicate the importance of self-worth, you know, the importance of acceptance, the importance of finding ways to be at peace with the diversity that exists within us, which is, I think, one of the points that I try to make in the book is, you know, the reason why understanding that diversity exists is important, because you're going to be at peace with yourself, because we have paradox within. You know I have a lot of paradox, like, you know, it's like, I believe in this, and then I feel this. That's weird. But then you come to terms with it, because you understand that there's this, you know, there's all these layers that exist within ourselves, and all these things happening at the same time. So with regards to the inspiration and, you know, the what people call your calling, I think that when I gave in, you know, at that point in my life where I, you know, quote-unquote, quit, I think I opened up some room for it to really flow through me, if you will, and you know, and then be able to write these songs and lyrics.
What advice or what would you share with people? Because there's so many changes happening on such a global scale. People are questioning their purpose. People are making such huge leaps and bounds and hitting such big brick walls. And a lot of them are kind of in that space where you were at, where it's almost on the verge of surrender. And it's as you said, it's a lonely place. It's a scary place. You don't know how to deal with these emotions. It's almost depressing. What would you say to somebody who's going through that, who wants to find the light on the other side?
I think the question that I always asked myself was, what other alternative have I got? You know, and is it interesting for me? And I think that when you get to those turning points in your life is, you know, do you want to go back? I mean, I think it's a choice. I think it's a possibility. You know, I really honestly think that sometimes you take a path of, you believe it's the right path for you, and then you realize it's not, and you quit. But I think the ability to see what are the real alternatives, you know, what else could I do that would make me this happy? You know, what else could I do that would really give me the sense of fulfillment, you know, that my life is worth it, and draw your strength from that. You know, I can tell you from my case particularly, with the surrender, you know, with the quitting, I realized that there was nothing better in my life than to pursue, you know, an artistic career where I could express all these emotions. It's what I wanted to do. And so I realized that it was really the journey. You know, whether I was going to make money with it or not, whether people are going to buy my music, I'm going to get famous or not, whether I'm going to be able to make a living out of it or not, kind of became secondary to the extent that I knew that I couldn't do anything else. So I think that when you're at that point of vulnerability, asking yourself really honest questions, you know, I think it's the answers will come because you've allowed yourself to be in that space where you don't know. So I think asking questions and really knowing that you're committed to yourself and to the path that is going to bring you the greatest happiness. Ask the right questions and you will be able to define whether you should make changes, go back, or move forward.
Yeah, because, I mean, we get so stuck on the destination and we think it has to happen one way. And it can always happen a multitude of ways. I mean, you've got such an powerful message to share, and you kind of see, well, is it a book, is it a song, is it something else, and you find your way and you weave your way through it. And I think the powerful thing in that is also just knowing that the journey's just as great as the destination. There's so much magic in each moment that each moment you're almost at many destinations within your greater journey.
I think it's really difficult. I mean, I tell you, Lena, you know, as a woman, a person who has a certain tendency for, you know, hyperactivity and anxiety, it does frustrate me at times when, you know, when I'm not there, you know, because it's like I want to get somewhere, you know, I want to get to the destination. So I think those are all very human characteristics. But being able to enjoy the journey and recognize what you have already achieved, I think it's really, really, really important. Like, I do this little thing which seems really, really stupid and self-centered and egoic, but I really like it. Like, sometimes, like, in the middle of the day, because, like, I always meditate in the morning, and then I'll always meditate in the middle of the day as well. I'll be like, I want to thank myself for, you know, I want to think about all the things I want to thank myself for today. And I just go through that list of personal appreciation and gratitude, because I think that connects us to the path and not so much the destination, you know. So it could be something as simple as, you know, I want to thank myself for making collard greens and mint juice. You know, it could be something really simple because I'm taking care of my body, and in honoring my body, I'm honoring my mission, and so on and so forth. But it's like a tiny, tiny, tiny brick in that journey. But I think that recognizing those things that we're doing towards it kind of gives us the support for the next steps.
I mean, ultimately, we're contributing to our own highest good in all of those little things, just eating healthily, doing the right things, giving ourselves times to meditate, whatever that personal ritual is for every single person, that's a great way to support ourselves.
Yeah, because I think that I think it's good that we demand from ourselves, that we want to excel, that we want to be better, that we are outside our comfort zone and challenging ourselves, but it's also nice to cuddle ourselves a little bit and you know, and be able to thank ourselves for the little things that we've done. So I think that on top of doing like a gratitude list, like everything that I've been given and all the things that I have to appreciate, I like to do like a self-appreciation thing, which really strengthens me on a daily basis, you know, to keep going, because it's every day.
Yeah, and if you can't be your biggest fan and if you can't appreciate what you're putting out there, then it's going to be really hard for the world to honor you on that level.
It's I mean, people have said this so many times in so many different ways, but it is true. I mean, if you aren't able to give yourself the appreciation and you're just looking for it somewhere else, it's just going to become an addiction. You know, it's never going to fulfill you. It really has to come from inside out, like, you know, the recognition, the self-worth. It has to come from within. Of course, there's an outside journey, you know, like, for example, I'm a singer, so I have to write songs, I have to put them out there. There is the external thing, but, you know, if I'm waiting to get my fans' recognition, to have self-esteem, you know, how addictive would that be? How self-destructive would that be? And how cruel, you know, to be on a journey of self-worth and then all of a sudden become addicted to something that is so uncontrollable, you know, like how people are going to respond to your work. So having the ability to really say, you know, this is what I want to do, and I feel good about it. You know, I feel good about it, and I hope I can reach as many people as I can through this who can identify with it. But I'm not here to please everybody, because, you know, if you try to do that, you're just going to dissolve your mission and your sense of purpose and even who you are.
No, of course. I mean, you can't please everyone, but I mean, I think anyone who really just takes the time to listen to one of your songs and really tune in with the lyrics, because they really are powerful, they really are inspirational, they are courageous, and they just really make you connect with yourself. I think that's one of the gifts that you give. You help people see the diversity within themselves and kind of go, oh, I need to appreciate that piece of me, and also giving them that platform to then take that forward into the light, because, you know, it's a nice melody, it's kind of punchy, so it kind of becomes a mantra for people and their kind of personal affirmation on who they are and what they have to offer the world.
Thank you. That's wonderful. I mean, I think that it's wonderful to be able to share that with whoever is willing to listen, because I think that so much suffering really could be avoided if we could just, or shortened, you know, if we can just extend, you know, this message and this light of self-acceptance and self-worth, because I really, really, really believe that's the beginning of everything. I think that every conflict in the world comes from a lack of self-acceptance and self-worth, and people looking for power and, you know, and all these things outside of themselves. I think people who have a sense of self-worth, and it's something that's really, really hard to achieve, are the foundations for a better planet. I really believe that.
I completely agree with you, and I think that's the fundamental work that we need to be doing specifically now, like while we're going through so many different shifts on so many different levels. And it's just even going to change the way we do business, the way we do everything, because everything's coming from heart, everything's coming from purpose, and it's not just strategic do-do-do, it's just a way that you become. It's the person you are.
Yeah, I do see that shift. I think there are more and more people are being drawn to an inner awareness, you know, and being conscious of their role and contributing as much as they can. So I think that I think things are getting better. I really am an optimist. I do believe that more and more people are tuned in with, you know, with love and a sense of mission and purpose and service, and at the same time, you know, of course, being profitable, being successful. I think those things, everything is possible if we do it, you know, from a place of truth and awareness. And I think there's definitely a shift in consciousness. I see that.
Mm. And I think that really just kind of brings me to, like, one of the big topics that I kind of wanted to share with you, because in that is the collaboration and the connection. And then it just steps so beautifully into, like, the teamwork, because nobody is an island. We need to be, even though we're doing it for ourselves and finding self-worth for ourselves, we still need that global community, and we still need to be in the consciousness of love, because if we're in a consciousness of destruction, it's going to be so much harder to do that inner work. And you've created an amazing team with this track that you've done, the front singer. We don't get to often see what happens behind the scenes and how much really goes into projecting somebody, whether it is an author, whether it's a musician, whether it's an entrepreneur. And I just kind of wanted to speak into that a little bit with you. And one of the things that I loved in your book was this beautiful analogy of the drop of water, this ego state, this like one little singular thing, which is trying to, I don't know, make a ripple, but it just doesn't have the capacity for it, versus this ocean. So can you just kind of speak into that metaphor for a little bit?
Yeah, the metaphor, actually, I read that in entire life being like a single drop of water, you know, with very clear defined boundaries and knowing who you are, or you can choose to merge with the ocean where the boundaries are no longer clear, but you're just part of something that is a lot bigger. And I feel that I have experienced that at many levels in my life, where it was just so much more interesting to let go of who I was and what my objectives were and, you know, the qualities that I had, and just try to share that with other people and try to in the case of the work of art Global Song, try to, you know, create a piece of music that was global through collective creativity and intelligence, you know. And it's something that, you know, I could never have done it myself. I mean, no matter how smart a person is, you know, you can't really learn 20 languages on your own. You can't get to that level of fluency and proficiency in a language, but if you gather people around, you know, it was possible to do, and that's exactly what I did with Work of Art, which was the song that marks this new era of my life of, you know, really looking in and appreciating my own value. And so I recorded the version in English, because that's the original version, and then decided to write the song in as many languages as possible, because I think self-acceptance is such a universal theme. And then I would send the song as like an ambassador to people and say, you know, would you be willing to write lyrics for the song? And it turned out to be an amazing experience, because I think that it is so evident to me that when you have music as an ambassador, people are so much more open and more vulnerable and willing to share, you know, their experiences and add to this collective work that was, you know, the work of our Global Song.
Absolutely. And just the message of the song, for everyone to appreciate who they are authentically, that they are a work of art, that they have something magical to offer the world, that they can add color to the world, as you also say in your book. It's just beautiful lyrics, and music does transcend all boundaries. But what interests me, I mean, 20 languages is quite a feat, and there's some languages on there that I've never even heard of. Like, I don't even know how to pronounce them. There's, oh, shit, I didn't even want to try this, but yes, that one. Like, okay, I can understand the Dutch, or, you know, those are languages that, you know, are more traditional. But, like, what made you find those kind of things? Or was it just an organic process and whatever language came to you, came to you?
Part of it was an organic process. and Greek, you know. So finding those people who are like, you know, yeah, you know, it's war is really silly. You know, in the end, it's we're all very similar. We're much more similar than different, you know. And so it was organic in that sense of just finding, you know, the right people. But with regards to the two languages that probably you've never heard of, Lushootseed, the other one is Guarani Mbia. Those are two native Indian languages, and that was a conscious decision, because I think that I've always been very drawn to the wisdom that, you know, native Indians have with regards to the planet and to nature, the way that they see, you know, Mother Earth as the provider, and that we have to honor it, you know, that we have to thank it for what it gives us and not, you know, keep taking and never giving back. So I wanted to, particularly because of my interest in environmental causes, I wanted to work with Native Indians. So for Guarani Mbia, Guarani is actually widely spoken Native Indian language in the southern, Central America and South America. There are many different dialects, and I found a person who was willing to help me. She was actually a social assistant in a Native Indian tribe in an urban area in the city of São Paulo. So she took me to the tribe, and it was a beautiful experience just, you know, being there. It's like this huge city, and then all of a sudden you're inside this tribe, and, you know, all the little Indians are naked, and they're like running around and wanting to know, you know, what we're doing. So that was, you know, a very beautiful experience. And then Lushootseed, I wanted to do it because I don't know if you've ever heard of Chief Seattle.
I've heard of, but don't quite know the story.
In the 1800s, people wanted to buy their land, and then he wouldn't, you know, sell the land. And then apparently he got a letter from the president saying, you know, whatever, just give me a price and we'll buy it. And he sends back, he said a speech, and that speech was written because he didn't know how to write, saying, you know, how could I set a price to the river that runs with the blood of my ancestors and, you know, the mountains that live with the spirits of, you know, my children? So it's a beautiful letter, and I think it's considered like the first, like, environmental speech of the modern era. So Chief Seattle gave this beautiful speech, and I really wanted to do a version of work of art in his language, you know, to pay a tribute to this beautiful soul that, you know, was among us, you know, 200 years ago. And when I started doing some research, I actually discovered that the language is practically extinct. And so I reached out to some, you know, research groups, and then eventually I found this university professor called Zalmai Zahir. When we started the project, he was one of the last four people who spoke the language fluently. Unfortunately, his mother passed away during the project, so he's like one of the last three people who speak the language. And so it was a real honor to be able to do it and to learn from it, because it's a really, really, really hard language to pronounce. Like, there's all this and like blowing air with saliva through your teeth, like, and to make that singable was very challenging. But at the same time, what he was explaining to me is that their language derives from the sounds of the nature around them, you know. So it's like the fire crackling, the wind. So he said, you know, when you come to the Washington area, you're going to recognize these sounds. I haven't been able to visit the reserve, but you know, that was quite an adventure in terms of being able to communicate this message even, you know, a little bit further.
Oh, that just adds such a level of potency and magic to it. That's, wow. I'm so glad that you brought that out. And it also just takes it to another level as well in terms of preserving language, preserving culture, preserving the diversity in that. So, you know, what you did is just on so many different levels of amazing.
Thank you.
And I mean, in that, I mean, just as you were saying, like, finding the team and finding the people who helped you and the coach that you worked with, you know, a lot of, we don't know that whole process. I mean, you speak into it in your book, but not a lot of people know the behind the scenes of the team that kind of helps you get there. And I think that's just such a powerful thing, because we're all striving for the same message, and everyone's drawing on each other's strengths. And you've become the voice of the song, and this has been the voice of your creation, but so many different people have now had a chance to share this with the world.
I think it's, you know, I think it's so, like, I truly believe when I say that everybody has something to contribute, and even particularly in this project, when I found somebody who was like, yay, I want to do this, they're like excited about it, I was like, make it your own, you know. This is the general message of the song, but please make it your own. You know, make it belong to your culture. Make it belong to your life experience so that it resonates with who you are. Because I think, like you said, it's about acceptance, about self-worth, about celebrating diversity. And then everybody adds a little bit, you know, of what they've lived, you know, through the lyrics in their language. So I actually, there's the video of Work of Art Global Song where I sing parts of the song in 19 languages, but I actually recorded the song full-length version in 20 languages because I really wanted every lyricist to tell a little bit about the story of their life and how, you know, how the song pertains to their particular experience with, you know, self-worth and self-acceptance.
Well, I'll definitely be sharing that with all the podcast viewers because I'm sure they're itching to actually hear the song. But the one nice thing about that as well is you've done something as a global movement, and you've brought so many different people together from so many different walks of life across the world. And a lot of people have these great projects, something that they really want to put out into the world, something that's that meaningful for them. But they get caught up in the grandeur of it. Because what you've done is huge. It's really humongous. And then they make it about, say, the money issue. Like, I just can't because of money. And here's, you know, you've kind of done this through Skype. You've done this through so many different things. And I think people also need to hear that message, that there are ways to make your dreams happen, no matter where you are, no matter what limitations you have. If it's that urgent, if you really just need to blurt it out, there's a way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think money is a wonderful resource, and it's a shortcut in many ways. Because, for example, if I was, you know, hiring the company that does, you know, translations for in as many versions as possible, you have to draw on other resources, you know, like passion, you know. And of course, for the 20 lyricists that I found, you know, I think for every lyricist that I found, I may have sent 20 other emails that never got a response, you know, two that got a response and then didn't keep the conversation going, and then finally the one that, you know, followed through with it. So it is something that requires an enormous amount of perseverance. And like I said, so perseverance is an asset that we have. So if you have a project that you want to do and you believe in, you just keep pushing and keep pushing and keep pushing until you get it, because you're almost obsessed about it. Like I said to you, you don't have another choice. I wanted to do this. You know, I really wanted to do this. So it was like, okay, that person didn't reply. Next, let's try to find another one and just keep moving forward. So perseverance is an asset that we have, and we can draw, you know, on that. Passion, you know, being able to connect with people at that level of mission. You know, I said, you know, this, I'm a singer, I want to express this message. Do you believe in it? Do you want to add your story to this? And you make that connection. So that's another asset. And then, of course, like you said, the internet, the ability to cyber travel around the globe, you know, without ever leaving your own living room. It's possible. I mean, I'm in LA, you're in South Africa right now. I did this, you know, with people in Finland and, you know, Sweden, all over the world. And technology makes that possible nowadays. But it takes that, again, the vulnerability. You know, you're going to send emails to a lot of people who are going to think you're a fool.
Of course, it's just really staying true to who you are and living that truth and putting yourself out there regardless.
Regardless. I think that's, and it's so, I keep coming back to it because I think that there's a lot of confusion around, you know, self-esteem and self-worth and pride, you know, and arrogance. Completely different, you know. It's the self-worth is I believe in this, and I'm going to find, you know, the people that I need to work with me on this. And the people who don't believe in me, that's fine, too. You know, they have the right to, they're entitled to their own opinions. And being at peace with that and not being hurt every time somebody doesn't answer your emails or if they don't think it's a good idea or whatever. You know, it's just you are who you are and you respect mm-hmm. that and you respect the other person as well.
No, absolutely. That actually just reminded me of a little story of my own. Before going into coaching and that whole thing, I was in so many different industries, but at one point I was in the film industry, in the entertainment industry, and I had the story that I wanted to put out there. And they came back with the idea of, it's too ambitious. And, you know, people just hear those things as rejections and final doors. And meanwhile, you know, these are opportunities for you to just find another way to go about it. Maybe it isn't the right thing. Sometimes that happens. But for you to actually know, as you said, what it is that you really want and how it is you want to put it out there and what really is possible for you. Because somebody else's impossible isn't yours.
Exactly. I mean, exactly. I've heard, you know, your story is something that I've lived. People are like, what? Are you out of your mind? It's too ambitious. Can't be done. Just can't be done. You know, it's too difficult to find one good lyricist, let alone 20. You're never going to do it, you know?
And in different languages. I mean, what are you expecting here?
Yeah, and I think that if you have a project that you believe in, if you have a script that you believe in, you know, it's yours. You know, it's yours to take care of. You know, it's yours to nurture and have fun with it. It's not always easy to have fun when you're pursuing a big dream. You know, like I said to you, I'm sure you have lived through this before. It gets very lonely at times. It gets very discouraging, very depressing at times. But go through it, you know, go through with it. You know, live the depression and come out of it and try something new and try again and again. Just how important is this for you, you know? And I think that's going back to the question of the people who are in the turning point of quitting, of surrendering. How important is this for you? And in the end, I think the question really is, how important are you for you? You know, because I think that in your dreams really lie the best in you. That's what I think.
How important are you for you? I think that that's definitely going to be a tweetable coming out of this podcast. I think people really need to resonate with that.
Yeah, I think it comes down to that. You know, it's so much more than an objective. It's so much more than a financial ambition. It's so much more than you know, a project or looking good. It's really, to me, I think that in the pursuit of my dreams, I have definitely, by living my biggest nightmares as well, let me add, the vulnerability part and all that, the uncertainty, I have discovered, I am in the process of discovering my greatest truths and assets. So it's a journey worth living.
You know, you're still on this journey. We're all still on this journey.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. A lot of people also think they've got to get it all figured out before they set off. But that's the thing. That's the journey. That's the magic in it. The minute you start, you know, once that song came for you, so many different things started happening. And you wouldn't have done that if you hadn't had taken that next step.
Exactly. And I think, to me at least, it's never been about having the perfect conditions before I do something. It's always like, I do it, and then I figure it out, and I figure it out, and I figure it out, and I figure it out. And many times, they're like micro steps. But you keep living, you know? You keep going, and you dig it.
Heike, I completely agree with you. Like, you're a lady after my own heart. I'm also just a plunge in and make it happen kind of girl.
Yeah, I mean, and see what happens. And sometimes, you know, it's total silence. Nothing happens. But you keep moving.
Absolutely, despite the crickets chirping.
Yeah, exactly. Crickets chirping. That's totally. And your own heartbeat, you know, and you keep
going.
Oh,
my God. Well, we're going to need to wrap up, but I just want you to kind of share a little bit more about your book and what it's about and how people can connect with you and just follow this great unfolding journey that's happening for you.
Yeah, so I wrote this book, right? It's called What is Diversity? And basically, because just to give people this a little bit of a background, I was born in Brazil, and then I lived in Japan, and then in the U.S. And the interesting thing about that is that you really get to experience how, like, certain values, like right or wrong, can be just total opposites depending on where you are. And so when you're confronted with that, like, you know, in, say, for example, in Brazil, there's one way which women are expected to behave, which is totally different from the U.S., which is totally different from Japan. And then you start really finding your own truths. And I think that in my case, because I was in a culturally diverse environment, it was so obvious. But really, everybody, you know, you have, like, yourself within your family environment, and then the self at work, and the self at the supermarket. You know, finding what is truthful in that is really, really important. And when I wrote this book, What is Diversity?, I really wanted to get that idea out there, that below the surface of the multiple roles that we play in life, and we have to play them, you know, that's fine, there is this truth that is there. And, you know, to be able to access that deeper inner truth is, I think, our greatest mission in life, is I think it's the best way that we have to honor the life that we've been given. So on my book, What is Diversity?, I talk about multiple topics that have been important for me from the perspective of diversity, whether it be, you know, the environment or sexuality or parenting. Even this whole idea of having a mission, having a purpose to fulfill in life, from this experience of having, you know, had multiple perspectives on these issues, and then the truths that I was able to draw from there. And then also about this project that I did, which is called the Work of Art Global Song, where I got one of my songs called Work of Art, the original version in English, and just set out on a journey to see how many languages I could record the song. The reason I did that is because the song is a song about self-acceptance and the celebration of diversity, and I wanted to do it, you know, in as many languages as I could to try to really share it with people from different countries, because I think that I really see myself, at least, as like a global citizen, you know, as, like I always say, like I'm a patriotic citizen of planet Earth, you know, and I think that this notion that we all belong to one global community really strengthens our ability to appreciate who we are. Because we're part of one big global community, and at the same time, we have like our very unique and singular contribution that we can make towards this global community. So this book touches on multiple topics, and also about, it also touches on how I put those values into practice by doing this musical project, Global.
Brilliant. And how can people connect with you and follow your journey?
Okay. My website is www.haika.com. My book, What is Diversity?, is also available on Amazon and on the Apple Store on iTunes. And I'm very chatty on Facebook, so if you want to connect with me on Facebook, it's facebook.com/HaikaMusic. That's HAIKAA Music. Facebook.com/HaikaMusic. And I really like to hear from you, and I like to hear your thoughts and ideas. And, you know, I have a very chatty personality on on Facebook. I like to interact with people.
So thank you so much, Haika, for joining us and for sharing your journey. And I'm sure we'll be checking in and following all your progress and following your beautiful songs. I'll be sharing some of those inspirational lyrics with the Supernova fans. And yeah, looking forward to more connections. And I think the real one thing, if you could sum it up, was that quote that you said, is how important are you to you? If you can't value yourself, if you can't put yourself in center stage and follow your dreams and live with that purpose and live with that heart and just follow who you are and what you're meant to be in this earth. Even if you don't know what that is right now, it's going to unfold, and let that unfold and just enjoy the journey. So to everyone who's listening in, thanks for joining in.